الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, as to what follows, the Shaykh began his khutbah by saying, Muslim brother, all you who your Lord has created you and fashioned you, and it is He who has sustained you, clothed you, fed you, and gave you drink, the one who has given you from everything you had asked of Him, yet you disobeyed, and you did not show thankfulness, and you sinned and you did not seek forgiveness. Rather, you move from one form of disobedience to another, and from one sin to another, as if you will remain eternally in this dunya and you will not die. You compete with Allah in your disobedience and transgression while you're heedless about the one who knows the unseen. So when will you repent? Will you repent when it's time to die, at the time of death? And would it be accepted of you at these moments? Listen to the one who has bestowed his favors upon you, as he speaks about those who had disobeyed him and violated his commands in this dunya, and they were not afraid of a day where they will be punished for that. As Allah says about them in the Quran, until death comes to one of them, and then he will say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, my Lord, allow me to go back. Then the Shaykh mentioned an addition which is not part of the ayah obviously. Why would you wish to return? Why would someone wish to return to the dunya at that moment? Then look to what Allah says afterwards. The man will say, perhaps I will do righteousness. Perhaps I will do righteousness concerning that which I left behind. It will be said to him as a means of reprimanding, no, nay, it is only a word that you shall speak, and behind them there's a partition until the day they are resurrected. And this is the Surah Al-Mu'minun. So then the Shaykh said, so hasten, brother, hasten, hasten, as long as the door is open. Yes, the door of Tawbah is still open. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah accepts the repentance of the servant as long as his soul does not reach his throat, meaning the moments of death. He said alayhi salatu salam, the one who repents from sin is like one who has no sin, meaning Allah will erase and expiate the previous sins and disobedience. Then he said, and I give you a glad tiding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said concerning those who have transgressed against Him, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except for those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, it is those whom Allah will replace their bad deeds with good deeds. And verily Allah is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. Yes, my brother, hasten before your time is up, and do not give the shaitan authority over you. Hasten before, and he quoted ayat from Surah Az-Zumar, before his soul says, woe to me over that which I have neglected in the sight of Allah, and concerning Allah's rights. And verily I was among those who used to mock. Or a soul shall say, had Allah guided me, I would have been among the muttaqeen. And you hear this often. Whenever you advise a brother, he says, Akhi, make dua for me. You see a brother in a state of sin and disobedience, and you try to advise him, he will say, make dua for me. Which is basically saying, as if it's not my fault. I need dua to be guided, even though he knows that Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not give a soul more than it can handle. You cannot fall into sin without being given the ability to avoid that. Now if we do so, we do so willingly. So when we fall into sin, yes, a person making dua,
is a bonus, but we shouldn't depend on the person's dua. We are able to make changes within ourselves. And these people will say on the Day of Judgment, had Allah guided me, I would have been among the muttaqeen. Meaning it wasn't my fault that Allah did not guide me, and then this is unacceptable. Or that a soul, lest the soul shall say, when it sees the punishment, if I'm only given another chance, then I will be among the muhsineen, the good doers. He said, hasten my brother, before your time is up. Verily your life is nothing but moments and counted breaths. So do not waste it in other than obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Munkadir, while dying, he started to cry. And it was said to him, what makes you cry? He said, wallahi, I am not crying over a sin which I know I have committed. Rather, I am crying over things that I have done which I consider to be insignificant, but they are great in the sight of Allah. So he didn't have any major sin that he could recall, but little things that we disregard. As the Sahaba said to the Tabi'een, they said, verily you do things today that you consider nothing, that we used to consider at the time of the Prophet ﷺ among the major destructive grave sins. And so look at our condition today. We be doing things as if it is normal, but really it could be great in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the Shaykh mentioned, so I call you, I invite you, O brother, the invitation of the one who truly loves you and wants goodness for you, to evaluate yourself. Are you upon a straight path? Are you moving upon a straight path? Or are you like he who has taken a path, but then his own desires and his evil friends prevented him from continuing? And then he quoted the ayah of Surah Al-An'am, like he who was overtaken by the shayateen in the land, by the devils in the land, and he's confused. And he has company, friends calling him, come to us, come to guidance. But that verily the guidance of Allah is the ultimate guidance. So travel upon the path of the muttaqeen and think goodness about the most generous Al-Kareem. And remember a day where you will be standing afraid, a day where the people will be brought for something great. It is either the home of wretchedness or the home of honor and delight. So take advantage of your life and strive and repent to the forgiving and the merciful Lord. Some of the Salaf used to say, do not be deceived by a land which you will inevitably leave behind. And do not destroy a land which you will inevitably abide therein, the life to come. So he said, O people, then he quoted some other ayat from the Quran. Verily, then this is the statement of one of the people of the Fir'aun, those who believe from the people of Fir'aun, Surah Ghafir verses 39 and 40. O people, verily this life of this dunya is nothing but entertainment. And the life to come is the life of eternity. Whoever does evil, then will be recompensed equally. And whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, whilst being a believer, it is those who will enter Jannah and they will be provided therein without any measures. May Allah make me and you among the inhabitants of Jannah and among those who will enter Jannah in peace. This is a dua that he made. He said, servant of Allah, imagine yourself on the day where it will be said to you and your family, Enter paradise, you and your spouses, you and the people in your lives. The scholars say, azwajukum does not necessarily mean one spouse. Rather, zawj is anyone who is in the same methodology, the same understanding, the same way of life as you. And that includes your companions, your brothers, and anyone who follows the same footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions as you would. And it is the people of Jannah. Imagine that you're among the people of Jannah with your face full of light, illuminating, and you are abiding in the gardens with rivers flowing under you. Verily the people of Jannah will be enjoying whatever Allah has given them, and they will be drinking from Rahiqun Makhtum. Ahlul Jannah, the people of Jannah will be pleased with what Allah has given them, and they will have Qasiratul Tarfi'een. You know what that is. And they will be enjoying the delight which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared strictly for the muttaqeen in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Jannah are rivers of water that has not went bad or not spoiled, and rivers of laban, milk. Laban now is used for yogurt, but in essence laban is milk at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which taste did not change, and rivers from wine that is delicious for those who consume it, and rivers from pure honey, and they shall have therein all kinds of fruits and forgiveness from their Lord. So what an excellent reward is that for those who understand the objective of life and strive for the life to come. He says, brother, may Allah protect you. Did that caller from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause you to interact in a way where you strive to respond? Does that iman in you, did that call reach one with iman, or one with an ear that could listen, or one whom Allah has given a live heart? Verily, this reminder from Allah has shaken the beds of the righteous predecessors and the righteous people. So then they prepared with all their means, as Allah says concerning them, and are you one of them? وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And the forerunners, it is those who will be the nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be careful, O brother of Islam, to disdain and to turn away from the remembrance of Allah. Because verily rejecting the remembrance of Allah will bring about destruction in this life and in the life to come. Allah says in Surah Taha, and whoever turns away from my remembrance, then verily he shall lead a miserable life. And we will resurrect him on the day of judgment blind. He will say, my Lord, why am I blind even though I used to have sight in the dunya? It will be said to him, such our ayat, signs, verses, reminders, proofs, evidences came to you and you forgot about them. And similarly today, he will be forgotten. Not that Allah will forget him, but Allah knows about everything, but he will be disregarded. He will be neglected in the punishment, and Allah will not take them from the hellfire due to their rejection of the signs of Allah in this dunya, with the exception of the believer. He says, so remember my brother, this blind man, as he is being dragged on his face in Jahannam, in a Jahannam, and he gets to drink the pus of the people of Jahannam, and he will try to swallow it, but he will not go in, and death will come to him from every side, but he will not die. These are all from the verses of the Quran, and beyond them is a severe punishment. Remember brother, as the chains will be in their necks, and they will be dragged in Jahannam. Remember where that on the day where the faces will be overturned in Jahannam, and they will say, we wish we had obeyed Allah wa ata'na Rasul, and obeyed the Messenger. And this is something that requires a pause for a moment. Because this ayah, it is not restricted to the disbelievers. This is for the believer and for the disbeliever. Allah says that these people, their faces will be overturned in Jahannam. And the thing that they will say is, we wish we had obeyed Allah and His Messenger. And His Messenger. And me and you know how many teachings we have from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that some Muslims really don't believe in. They believe in some aspects of the deen, but they really don't believe in the ultimate sense. Because had you believed in that, then you will not go another day without carrying out these commandments from Allah and His Messenger. It's impossible if you truly believe. But if we don't believe, if our iman is not sound, then yes, we will get the reminder and the command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will leave it behind. We will ignore it. But then this will be the accountability, this will be the outcome on the day of judgment. So no one will come and complain on that day. Rather, the only thing they will say, we wish we had obeyed Allah and His Messenger. Now today, me and you have a chance. You're being given a chance every Friday, and every dars, and every lecture, and every month of Ramadan. Every day, you must come across some reminders from the Quran and the Sunnah concerning how you should conduct your life. And And how often, brothers, do we continue to turn away? How often do we continue to ignore? And on the Day of Judgment, this person will be regretting this attitude of his. So today, now that Allah gave you the chance, now that you're in the month of Ramadan, take advantage of this month. It's easier for you to carry out the obligations and to be consistent in them than outside Ramadan, because the whispers of the shaitan are confined to some extent. They're not as abundant as you will have them outside. So this is a month for your beard to grow. Huh? I know this is sensitive, but we have to be honest with each other. I cannot sit over here and play games with you, just keep speaking generally where you don't know what I'm talking about. This is from the deen of Allah. This is a month for your beard to grow permanently until you put in the grave. Until they place you in the grave. Not Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, not Shafi'i, not Imam Malik, not Imam Ahmad allow that one shaves his beard. And so the brothers will say, I follow this Imam, but you will find that they only follow the Imam in something that is according to their desires. But when the Imam said this is wajib, now we don't follow the Imam anymore. So we're not following the Imam, we're following our desires. And whatever is coincides with our desire, we say, wallah, this is the madhab, this is the madhab. But when it doesn't come with our desires, we khalli walli, even the Imam, let him go. What happened to the love of the Al-Imam Al-A'zam, rahimahullah, which is the expression that is given to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah? What happened to the following his way in his aqidah? What happened to his following his way in striving to teach you to follow the sunnah? The scholars did not disagree about this issue. You find brothers totally ignoring that commandment. And it is not as light as many people think. This is off the subject, but it is related to me and you entering Jannah. It is very much relevant. There are at least 10 violations that one acquires by shaving his beard. 10. Each one of them is more severe than the other. And I will quickly enumerate them. First, you're disobeying Allah. The Prophet ﷺ had received 2 convoys from the people of Kisra. And they had no beard and a big mustache. The Prophet ﷺ disliked looking at them. He disliked even looking at them. And he said, who commanded you to do this to yourself? They said, our Lord Kisra. He said, well, my Lord commanded me to trim my mustache and leave my beard. His Lord commanded him ﷺ. So when we don't do that, we're disobeying Allah. Then we disobey the Prophet ﷺ, who told us, خَالِفُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, distinguish yourself from the polytheists. Let your beard grow and trim your mustache. You are imitating women. Who the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah curses the men who resemble women and the women who resemble men. It is a woman's quality to be soft, not that of a man. Fourthly, you're imitating the disbelievers. And every day in the Fatiha you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. The path of those whom you have bestowed your favors upon, الأنبياء, النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين, the prophets and the martyrs and the righteous and the truthful ones, those are the path. Not those whom your wrath has been placed on and those who have gone astray, the Jews and the Christians. So we ask Allah every day in the Fatiha, at least 17 times a day if you don't pray in the Sunnah, to give us a path other than theirs. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us, distinguish yourself from them, but then we go and follow their footsteps. Fifthly, you're going against the way of the Prophets and the Messengers. All of the Prophets and the Messengers and the ulama of this Ummah from the early generations until today are known to have left their beards. They did not shave them. They did not design them. It is not a fashion show where somebody will have, you know, a map. Just in case you got lost, you can use his face to know how to get to Tahliya. People going zigzag up and down, you know, cleaning. And this is all nonsense. I know this is shocking to you. You may hate me, but if you go to Jannah, I'm willing to accept that. If you wind up obeying Allah and His Messenger, I'm willing to take a chance on hurting some feelings for the general benefit of those who don't know better. Because I do believe that many brothers don't know. They think it's a sunnah. Because the one who usually doesn't have a beard has been told that it's a sunnah. Otherwise we assume from the brothers when they know that this is a wajib, like salah, they will not even leave it alone. But many do not know. Another violation, you're actually wasting money. How much is Gillette? 60 riyals, I think. That machine, the razor, is so expensive. And do you know the other razors, the extra razors, like 100 riyals. The one spent on this machine, which is a form of extravagance in order to disobey Allah. Then it's a waste of time. How long do you spend in the bathroom, trying to fix and shave your hair, when you cut yourself, you're bleeding, you have to put a napkin or a little tissue over there, so on and so forth, wasting time, wasting money. Then it is jahr bil ma'siyah, doing sins publicly, which is double trouble. It's one thing to do sins that no one sees. It's another thing to do a sin and do it outside, as if it is something totally normal. So anyone who follows your footsteps, you will gain a sin equal to his until the day of judgment. Until the day of judgment. On your book of deeds is you shaving and anyone who wind up shaving because they took you as an example for having shaved your beard. And the list goes on. These are all the violations that one will acquire by shaving the beard. So don't look at it as hair. It's not how big your beard is. Big mutawwi', small mutawwi', mini mutawwi', major mutawwi'. This is nonsense. If you have one hair that grows here, then you have done your obligation in the sight of Allah. It is not a competition of how big your beard is. This is not in your control. Allah is the one who gives you facial hair. But it is your obligation to leave it alone. And it is the easiest act of worship in Islam. Any act of worship, even smiling. For you to smile, how many muscles you have to move in your face? A lot. You should have an intention also to smile. Any act of worship requires a lot of work, except go on the beard. All you have to do is leave it alone. You don't oil, you don't put water, you don't sit in the sun with vitamins and say, hey, wallah, it's like a plant. You don't have to do anything. It comes on its own. All you have to do is leave it alone. Just leave it alone. If the people criticize you, these are from the shayateen of ins. The shayateen of the human beings. Ma'lish. If Allah is pleased with you, then the people can go wherever they want to go. But if we don't believe, then there's nothing that we can do. So this is a reminder in the month of Ramadan. It's an opportunity to do these things that Allah has made easy for us. Obeying Allah and His Messenger. Otherwise this ayah is applicable. And if you don't believe me, and you continue with your ways, the day will come where you will remember these reminders. And perhaps you will be making this very expression that Allah mentioned in the Quran, يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. We wish we had obeyed Allah and obeyed His Messenger, but inshaAllah ta'ala, all of you are brothers of Iman and goodness, and you will not wait until the moment of destruction. InshaAllah, all of you will take heed and carry out the obligations accordingly. Then he mentioned another ayah. The people of Jahannam, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, they will be calling out, our Lord, take us out from Jahannam so we may work righteousness other than that which we used to do in the dunya, which is that of sins. Then they will say another ayah, our Lord, we were overtaken with our wretchedness and we were people who were astray. Our Lord, take us out from the hellfire. Verily, if we go back, then we are indeed wrongdoers. It will be said to them, and according to the ulama, this is one of the most severe ayat in the book of Allah. This ayah is one of the most severe ayat. Allah will say to them, اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. When the people of Jahannam will call out, Allah will say to them, remain therein and do not speak to me. The most merciful, the most forgiving, the Wadud, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Rahim will tell these people, remain therein and do not speak to me. So they will not be given an opportunity to be taken from the hellfire. And lastly, as Allah quoted in Surah Al-Zukhruf, وَنَادَوْا يَا مَالِكِ. Malik is the guardian of Jahannam, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. It will be said to him, they will call on, يَا مَالِكِ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. Let your Lord destroy us. According to the ulama, Malik will answer them after 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, what will he tell them? Sure, he will tell them, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِتُونَ. Verily, you will remain. We have brought to you the truth. The truth was presented to you in this dunya, but you disliked it. And you used to hate the truth. This is what exactly what the ayah says. لَقَدْ جَئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Verily, the truth was brought to you, but you used to hate the truth. You didn't like it in the sense that you implemented it in your life. So these are all warnings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do not place ourselves in this condition on the day of judgment. So the brother said, hasten, O brother in Islam, before the time of regret and before the time of destruction, and prepare yourself for the question and be ready for the argument. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day where each soul will come and will argue on its own behalf, your soul will try to release you from the hellfire. And so at that time, Allah says, each soul will be recompensed for what they did and no one will be oppressed. And then he made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify the corruptions in our hearts, and that Allah conceals our sins in the dunya and the hereafter, and that He pardon us and that He shows mercy to us. In the second part of the khutbah, the brother said, brother in Islam, hasten, be patient, and do not panic, and be like Bilal. Bilal radiallahu anhu, the imam of those who were afflicted with calamities. How was he patient? Radiallahu anhu, he used to be dragged on his face in the scorching sun and heat, and his body would be burnt, and they would place a huge stone on him, and the only thing he would say is ahadun ahad, which means Allah is unique, not that Allah is one. One is wahid. Ahad is more particular than wahid, meaning one who is unique in his oneness. Otherwise I have one recorder and you have one recorder and he has one recorder, there's nothing special about that. There's 1, 2, 3. But if I say I have one unique recorder, meaning there's nothing like it, it stands out. So the ulama say ahad is unlike wahid. That's why the translation say it is Allah one is inaccurate. Rather it is Allah who is unique in his oneness. Unique in his oneness. So Bilal radiallahu anhu used to say, Ahadun Ahad, Kul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, say it is Allah who's unique in his oneness, Allah the absolute. While the people who were torturing him used to say to him, say a word other than that, and we will desist from torturing you. And he will say to them, I'm unable to say anything else. I don't know how to say anything else. How was he, when he was asked, radiallahu anhu, how were you able to endure this punishment? How are you able to endure this torture? He said, I mixed the pain of the torture with the sweetness of Iman. So the sweetness of Iman overtook the pain, and so I did not feel any pain. The sweetness of Iman was so powerful that it eliminated the pain altogether. And so he said, Allahu Akbar, and indeed, Allahu Akbar. And this is the reward of patience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us a narration where he told Bilal, tell me, O Bilal, what is the deed, the best deed that you have done in Islam, which you hope that you will be rewarded for? So he said, then the Prophet ﷺ said, because I barely heard your footsteps in Jannah. I heard your footsteps in Jannah. And the Shaykh said again, Allahu Akbar, what better reward that one gets when he's given glad tidings of Jannah while he's still alive in the dunya, when you know that you're going to enter Jannah? What did Bilal say? He said, there's no deed that I have done which I hope will be more rewarding with Allah, except that I never performed ablution, never made wudu. Except, it doesn't matter at any point in the day or in the night, except that I prayed whatever Allah had decreed for me to pray with that purification. So whenever he would make wudu radiallahu anhu, he would pray accordingly. And you know, this is a sunnah that Prophet ﷺ acknowledged, because Bilal said it, Prophet ﷺ did not reprimand him or stop him. That means it's a sunnah taqririyya, it's an approved and acknowledged sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then finally, he ended the khutbah by saying, do not waste your lives in other than obedience to Allah. And he quoted ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and have taqwa and fear a day where you will all return to Allah. And according to many of the ulama, this was the last ayah revealed. Fear a day where you will all return to Allah, and each soul will be recompensed with that which it had earned in the dunya, and no one will be oppressed. So hasten before the time is up, and before they place you in the grave, and people around you will be crying and weeping, and it will be too late. He said, it's a very short journey. It's a very short journey, like the blink of an eye. It's like a cloud that comes and disappears. This is the dunya. It's like a cloud that comes and disappears. An hour of the time and it will be gone away. So prepare, my brother in Islam, for the journey that shall come to end very soon. Well, that was the actual khutbah with some additions on my behalf. Forgive me for doing so. But I believe from what we know from the Quran and the Sunnah, that ad-deen al-nasiha, everybody knows this hadith, the deen is advice. And so we should, the Muslim is a mirror for his Muslim brother. Whenever we see something wrong, we should address it. Beginning with myself, when I do something wrong, I would be hurt if someone did not notify me that there's an error there. Now if there's a room for discussion because I follow some opinion, then we discuss it. Otherwise, we all make mistakes. And so we should advise one another. We should enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. Otherwise, it's a form of betrayal. Because on the Day of Judgment, some will come and say, why did you not tell us? If Allah placed you in a position to remind, why did you not tell us that this was an obligation and that this was haram? So to close that door for blame on the Day of Judgment, some reminders were given accordingly. For those who wish to act upon them, then it is their free choice. No one can impose it on you. It's a relationship between you and Allah. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's as simple as that. And nothing beyond that. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.